Africa is on Twitter at Africa Milani.
Every year, the 17th of May is observed as World Hypertension Day. Joining us on the line now is the academic and clinical head of the Division of Cardiology at Charlotte Maxeke Johannesburg Academic Hospital and the University of Witwatersrand. That's Dr. Ngoba Tsabedze. Doctor, good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Africa, and thank you for having me this morning.
Whenever we think of hypertension, we've often thought about it in terms of older people, right? And it would be in part because of lifestyle choices, bad diet, not enough exercising, all those kind of things. And in part, I imagine, it's genetic and hereditary. But what we are starting to see a lot of is that younger and younger people are now starting to present with hypertension. Why is that the case?
Great, Africa. First, thank you for putting a spotlight on this very important disease, which is very, very common. And as you've highlighted this morning, the incidence is now occurring at much younger ages. And that's really just a manifestation of the evolution of how we're living and what traditionally used to manifest at a much older age due to, naturally, for many patients, the commonest cause of essential hypertension, which is just from aging of your blood vessels and less compliance, and hence the blood pressure increases. And now we're seeing this happening at a much, much younger age. And you've already highlighted it. I think that introductory statement was quite spot on. Many of our young people today are already living in an environment where they are doing all those things you've highlighted, you know, a lot of access to refined sugars, to polysaturated fats, lack of exercise, and a poor health awareness in general, which is why I think we're now seeing this occurring at a much younger age. Which is clearly a problem for the health system.
Let's then try and understand the nitty-gritties, right? So what actually physically happens to your body and your blood vessels when you have the onset of a hypertension?
Yeah, so the most common, so there are different types of hypertension. Let me call it the one that occurs on its own without you doing much, which is called essential or primary hypertension. And this occurs really for the majority of people, and that's 70 to 80% and more. It's basically your blood vessels over time, as you get older, they reduce their ability to accommodate an increasing blood volume or changing in blood volume, and also therefore a change in pressure. So we call that compliance, kind of like a balloon. If you blow in a balloon, the balloon just stretches and the pressure inside the balloon stays the same. But if that balloon were to get a little bit harder, you'd have to blow even harder for it to get to stretch. And so that's what happens with essential hypertension. And so this is then what drives and gives many individuals a raised blood pressure, and which clearly also because of the asymptomatic nature. So many patients will not even know about this. You're probably living with it. You probably have it. You are not in pain at the moment. Nothing has gone wrong. And you're just going happily with your day-to-day lives, but you actually have an elevated blood pressure. Another important culprit, which I forgot to mention earlier, is salt intake. Because if you consider a lot of the refined foods that we eat today, from processed meats, from canned foods to, you know, even your crisps that we eat, everything has some form of a salt that is either a preservative or an additive or for flavor, etc., which also is another culprit that drives a lot of hypertension that we see in our community.
It is highly treatable, is it not?
It's very highly treatable. The biggest problems, you know, there's five things that I would highlight that I think are pose a real threat to hypertension. First is the lack of awareness. I think it's an old disease that we take for granted, and the old dogma of believing that, oh, it's something that granny and opa get. I don't have to worry about it. That's changing rapidly. We're seeing it now in late teenagehood, early 20s. And in fact, the escalation is in middle age groups. You know, if you look at your 30-year-olds to 40-year-olds, that's where there's a significant a rapid rise in our population. And as you get older, naturally, you pull everyone together. So the older you get, the higher you are, the more likely you are to actually be hypertensive. And so these are all the challenges that we see regarding that.
What can the rest of us do? Because, of course, the person, the patient who's presenting with hypertension, I imagine has the primary role in making sure that they do whatever the doctors tell them to do in order to obviously overcome hypertension. But this is very much a societal challenge. I live in Cape Town, and I know that the community of Khayelitsha, for example, is really, really burdened with issues of hypertension. We call it high-high. We even have a nickname for it. And people will seemingly happily go and queue up outside clinics, be they provincial or city, to get their dosage of medication for the month and then continue life, you know, intaking of salt, you know, consuming bad oils, all those kind of things, as opposed to shifting and changing their lifestyle so that they can get healthier and better.
Yes, I think that's very true, Melanie. What's happened is we're now in a society where we want a pill to fix everything. You know, hypertension is one of the non-communicable diseases. And the truth is, as you've highlighted, as we're seeing it occurring earlier and earlier in age, it's just a bad choices, bad healthy choices that we health choices that we are making. But rather than changing the fundamental problem, we are seeking therapy as a part of the solution. And the problem with this condition, as I've highlighted, is because of its asymptomatic nature, many of the patients, by the time we pick them up, we've already probably missed the boat in the majority, where they're already now having conditions like heart failure, stroke, kidney disease, heart attack, etc. So there are many other conditions that this risk factor will ultimately lead to, and treating those conditions that's now detrimental. And at that time when you're there, you would have grave symptomatology and serious illnesses, which will really change the rest of your life. But because of our unwillingness, or maybe our unawareness of what's really happening around us, this then hits us later at a much, much higher pace. Therapy is available. So if you have been diagnosed, it's important that you are compliant. And as I said, compliance is another challenge because you are asymptomatic for the majority of patients. So you're not motivated. Why should I take this tablet? I'm not in pain. I'm feeling okay. Does the doctor really know what he's doing? You know, you have these questions in your head. But this is managing the risk factor, and that risk factor is imposed by poor health choices.
Indeed. Check your blood pressure today. It's the beginning and the start of the journey towards a longer, healthier life. Thank you very much to Dr. Ngoba Tsabedze. Dr. Tsabedze is the academic and clinical head in the Division of Cardiology at the Charlotte Maxeke Johannesburg Academic Hospital, University of the Witwatersrand.